Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. It's great to have you all here. Today, we're back in the Valley, in downtown Fresno, just outside of my district, but just blocks away from the now infamous high-speed rail station in downtown Fresno. It's been in the news a lot lately that the President of the United States now has come in and asked for about $2.5-3 billion to be returned to the federal government. They've revoked about $900 million from the state. This is all because Gavin Newsom, the new governor, has come out and said that it's not going to be high-speed rail anymore. It's not going to go from Los Angeles to San Francisco. It's only going to run from Bakersfield to Merced, which is right in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley. This week, we're welcoming my favorite Greek that's actually originally from the Midwest, from the Detroit area, Michigan, but has now since calls Fresno his home. He's got a local podcast that he does. But Jim Veros, welcome to the show, local political analyst, and it's great to have you here in downtown Fresno.
I appreciate the invitation.
So, Jim, you've been around a long time. You cover kind of the hot topics and politics around here. What do you think the assessment, if you're talking to kind of our national statewide audience, what are people now saying about, you know, why did Gavin Newsom, who's almost a protege of Jerry Brown, this was Jerry Brown's baby, why do you think he came in and said, well, we're just going to stop this. We're not going to run it from San Francisco to LA. We're just going to do it from Bakersfield to Merced.
Well, to compare Governor Brown and Governor Newsom, you have to take a couple steps back to when Governor Brown decided to run again for governor, obviously his second tenure. This was Governor Brown's baby, no doubt about it. This is what he wanted. He wanted that bullet train from San Francisco to Los Angeles. He wanted to connect the two metropolises here in the state. And I also think he felt that the last sort of holdout, in his opinion, of conservatism in the state of California would be the Central Valley. So starting in the Central Valley, getting folks from the Bay Area and Los Angeles to move to the Valley would probably change some demographics in voter registration. Gavin Newsom has been all over the place from day one on the high-speed rail. One year he's for it and he's happy with Governor Brown, and then all of a sudden his opinions changed. And he runs for governor and he's okay. He's been all over the board on this. And when he won election to the state house here in November and then took office in January, no one really knew in which direction he was going to go, because Governor Brown is very, very popular amongst Democrats and whatnot. So he didn't want to anger that base, but he also knew that he wanted to have his own sort of team. So a sports analogy. So like him coming over and becoming a general manager of a sports franchise. He wanted his own coaches, his own players, his own thing. And I think that when he came to the Valley, he saw the bones of ancient Greece, also known as high-speed rail here. And he said, well, it's going to look real bad for me if I pull the plug.
So explain that, the bones of ancient Greece, because that's a very good analogy.
Right.
Because as you travel kind of the 140 miles here where the high-speed rail is being built, I think the listeners need to understand – it's being built in like you'll have a quarter mile being built, and then you'll go for 30 miles and nothing's being built.
Right.
And it's like these huge, everywhere they're building something, it's huge. It's monstrous. It's something that you would see in ancient Greece. I mean, right. These pillars go up, 40, 50, 60 feet in the air.
Quite tall, yes.
And I mean, right here in downtown Fresno, you know, they've had to move the railroad. They've had to move the freeway. And then they've got these monstrous pillars with nothing on them.
Well, and that's commercially the one thing that, you know, also, you know, all politics are local. The use of eminent domain at the start of this project. I mean, you talk to anybody here in the Valley, they know somebody who sold their home, their farm, their business. And not, we're not talking about little homes here. We're our little businesses also. We're talking about large businesses that had to move. I know one of the waste haulers here in town had to relocate because of it. So if you're going to cut a check, get people to move out of their home, and then put up these ancient Greek pillars right now, which is what it looks like, to build a train that is not popular here in the Valley, if I'm a new governor and I come in and say, "Hey, by the way, sorry about that. We're not gonna build it."
And then it's always been a joke. I mean, they've advertised this as it's a $10 billion project from Merced to Bakersfield.
Right.
Without the train. Well, that's without a train.
Mm-hmm.
then they were saying that the LA to San Francisco was going to be roughly $77 billion. But even Gavin Newsom knows that that's a joke. This, it's probably looking, you're probably, if you were to complete this, you're looking at $200 to $300 billion.
Correct.
And so now, where are we? Like, where, so what's going to, I mean, hardly any of this is built. They've already spent $2 to $3 billion.
And I'm guessing even more than that. That's on the books. I think when we were talking about this on the local television, I know this is a national and statewide audience, but on the local NBC affiliate that we do a Sunday political show on, the host, Evan Onstott, we were talking about this, and he looked at me and said, okay, well, what happens next? And we all kind of looked at each other and said, we don't know. And the reason why is that when the voters passed Prop 1A, which released the funds to get this project started, it was because the project was going to be from Los Angeles to San Francisco. And part of the prop said it had to be self-sufficient. And that the only way to make it self-sufficient was to have the affluency of the riders being able to pay $140, whatever it was. But it had to be self-sufficient. Without having the ridership from San Francisco and Los Angeles and just having it from Bakersfield and Merced, you're going to have to lower the cost of the ride. Now, how does that affect Prop 1A? Not even just the federal money, but the state proposition. Nobody knows. So that's why I think you said, or when the governor came out and said, okay, well, we're just going to complete Bakersfield to Merced 2027, and then we'll kind of reassess things. I think people pulled the governor aside and said, that's not what was in the transcript, governor. You've opened yourself up to a lot of problems, and obviously the president.
And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. So now we're sitting out here with partially built pieces of this,
correct,
of this railroad. Of this, well, high-speed rail, pretty much what everybody's saying now that's telling the truth is that there's never going to be a quote-unquote high-speed train on this rail.
From Bakersfield to Merced?
From Bakersfield to Merced. It's going to be, they're going to move Amtrak. So currently Amtrak runs from Bakersfield to Merced and goes farther north to Sacramento.
Correct.
But now the thought process is that they're going to complete the rail line and Amtrak will move off the line they're currently on where they share it with freight rail, and it's now going to run on this $10 billion ancient Greek railroad.
That's what it appears to be right now. And obviously what the Democrats have come out and said was, okay, well, the governor didn't say it the way that he should have, but the plan still is now to go from Merced into the Bay Area. But no one knows what those plans look like. Are you going off of the existing plans that you went to the voters on and got them to cut a check? Is it what you told the federal government? Nobody knows. So all I know is Los Angeles, when I speak to folks that are involved down there politically and about this project, Los Angeles could really care less.
So I think the listeners all have a pretty good idea. We've covered high-speed rail before, so I think they're up to speed now on the the current status of it. But just to finish up here, Jim, you had a little experience dealing with kind of this big bureaucracy, which I think would be interesting to show how your experience relates to how corrupt these big government projects can become and how hard they are to deal with.
Can you share
that with our audience?
Yeah, it was definitely an eye-opening experience. Full disclosure, I own a small property maintenance business here in the Valley. We work with commercial companies in street sweeping, pressure washing, and industrial cleanup. And we got certified.
So you like to do real work.
Yeah, we try. We try to do real work, you know. So we were certified by the state of California as a small business, went through all the hoops, and got certified, which was great, which allowed us to bid on projects in regards to not just high-speed rail, but other statewide projects. And we were very excited when we got a call from High Speed Rail saying, or the engineering firm that had been awarded the bid through High Speed Rail, that they had illegal dumping issues on these sites, and they were looking for bids.
Right, because there's homeless that are just piling up.
Oh, it's massive, right?
It's awful.
And I mean, listen, and we could be here for half an hour, and I could walk you through the amounts of disposal that's being thrown. I mean, just drive down 99 and look on the medians. That's not even high speed rail. That's just us, you know. So that's Caltrans, which I'm sure would be a whole nother show you could talk about. But So we were happy, and we decided that we wanted to bid on this. And we learned very, very quickly that everything had been negotiated before anybody, not just us, but anybody on a lower level, not skill level, but we're not employing masons. We're not employing crane operators. We're on an unskilled labor sort of situation. We got in there, and they said, do you pay prevailing wage? And I said, no, we don't. We pay a nice wage, but I don't know what prevailing wage means for this project. Can you please let us know? And they said, well, the unions will tell you what prevailing wage is.
Wow.
And I said, okay, which union? And without getting into details, but for us to get to be awarded a project, we have not one union. We have two unions in our van. We have one union that is labor that will pick up the waste, and we have another union that will drive our truck because that's what was negotiated. I have two unions in one truck right now.
That's incredible.
And I could not interview who is driving my equipment because that was already negotiated between High Speed Rail and the unions. And it's not just one union. It's all across the board. And because we're a temporary vendor, so that, you know, it's not like we have a project for every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and that we're hiring full-time employees. We're called upon when there is illegal dumping. So all of our labor that we get from the unions is temporary labor. So we have to pay them an astronomical amount hourly, but also because they're not full-time and temporary labor, we still have to pay an hourly wage to the trust fund of the unions for benefits. So let's say we're paying these guys, you know, let's say we say 2.5 times minimum wage. Mm-hmm. We have to pay an additional 2 times minimum wage to the trust fund of the union, right?
So this is big government
at its worst.
At its worst,
right.
It's at work. I mean, forcing you basically to run your business in a different way. That's a fabulous story, Jim. Mm-hmm. You know what? It must be nice just finishing up here. You know, you with your Greek heritage, you just had a new baby this week.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, you moved from, you know, the Midwest, you know, you're from this great Greek family,
mm-hmm.
and you moved to Fresno, and then to have, like, the Greek ruins in your backyard, High Speed Rail, it must just be great. It's like Greece came to you.
You know what? And, you know, listen, if you could just get that snow from Las Vegas to show up here, I could have the best of both worlds. I could have corrupt unions, snow, and the Greek ruins. I mean, if we could just have that.
It's like miniature Greece.
We'd be all set. Detroit and Greece together, working together to achieve nothing.
Jim, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely, anytime.
This is Devin Nunes. Until next time, we're in downtown Fresno. Great to be here. We'll catch you around the corner.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days.
Not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We the people free and strong fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on.
declaring a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.